Okay, thank you. Again, my name is Abdel Barada. I'm with Colorado State University. I work at the Southwestern Colorado Research Center. I'm going to tell you a little bit about dryland farming in Southwestern Colorado, mostly. The Colorado Plateau, this is a map of the Colorado Plateau. It includes big chunks of land in Arizona, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico. I work here in this area, and I also work across the border in Utah. And this is where most of the dryland farming is done. We have challenges, like I'm sure most of us do. Dryland farming in our area is practiced at 6,500 to over 7,200 feet elevation. So we have a relatively short growing season. And we are lucky to get 10 to 16 inches of precipitation per year. We also, our soils have low organic matter, around 1%, and they are prone to erosion. This is just a comparison between Akron in northeastern Colorado and Yellow Jacket in southwestern Colorado. We get almost the same precipitation, but the distribution is quite different. The blue bars here are Akron, and they get most of their rain from May through August. Ours is more evenly distributed, with June being the driest month of the year. We also get about 40% of our precipitation from snow. They get much less than that from snow than we do. So they are in the central Great Plains, we are in the Colorado Plateau. Our soils are, this is the main soil type, weathery loam, fine silty mixed, superactive, mesic, aridic, hapristoff. It's a reddish soil. It was formed by wind deposition from the southwest desert. And again, it's low in organic matter. And we get a lot of wind erosion during the springtime, from March to into June. And we end up when farmers are working the ground, they're tilling, they're disking, they're using field cultivators, maybe even plowing their fields, then some of the topsoil ends up on the mountains on top of snow, and that affects how fast the snow melts, and it also affects the water availability. Water erosion is also a concern. It also happens in the spring, usually April, May, when the snow starts melting. We haven't had a lot of snow in the last several years. This actually, from last year, from September of last year, we had a very dry first half of the year, and then we had in August and September, we had over 9 inches of rain. So when you have no cover on the ground, that's what you get. We also have slopes from 3% to over 6%. Because of the structure of our soils and the low organic matter content, they tend to crust easily after a rain event, and then that exacerbates erosion, and it also forms a crust that makes it harder for some crops to emerge through that crust. The main cropping systems in our area are winter wheat, summer fallow, and winter wheat dry bean rotation. And most of it is with conventional tillage, plowing in the fall and then cultivating in the spring. So this is, we have quite a bit of cropland. These are in three counties in southwestern Colorado: Dolores, La Plata, and Montezuma. The 2012 Ag Census, we have about 250,000 acres of cropland, of which about 120,000 to 140,000 acres of dryland that's non-irrigated. And in 2012, which was a dry year, we didn't harvest a lot of acres. And our most main crops are winter wheat, dry bean. We also grow alfalfa, some dryland alfalfa, and some grasses for forage. And we have a little bit of sunflower and a little bit of safflower. Okay, these are from the Ag Census from 2007 and 2012. This is the bean, dry bean yield. Not quite 450 in 27, not quite 300 pounds per acre in 2012. Wheat yields 16.2 bushels per acre, 16.5 bushels per acre. Not much to write home about. You know, on an average, in a 20-year, 30-year average, maybe 20 bushels of wheat, winter wheat, and 200 to 400 pounds of dry beans. Okay, so those were some of the challenges. We have opportunities as well, and I listed some of them here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about organic farming. I don't have any slides, but you'd think, we have the average farm size is 500-600 acres, some are several thousand acres. So you think this would be the last place to have organic farming. But people do, farmers do, because when you look at wheat prices, for instance, they could be two, three, or more, or four times higher than conventional wheat. And because they don't use much pesticides or fertilizer to begin with, then they figured, well, why not? I can grow wheat organically, and I can make more money that way and not have to mess with pesticides. They do that mostly for wheat and some for safflower and sunflower. No-till, you'll think, well, why can't they do no-till given our low precipitation like a lot of farmers do in the central Great Plains? Well, we did some work, experiments in the 1990s with no-till, and we showed that we could produce no-till wheat very well and conserve water, even increase yields. We had a little harder time doing it with dry beans. When we did this type of experiments, growers were upset with us. They came to the research center and said, "Why are you doing this? This is not going to work." 20 years later, they're starting to do it, finally. They're starting to do it. Not too many, but there are some who are starting to either experiment with no-till or practice no-till. Now, the other big thing that happened around 2006 is the oilseed crops. There was a big push locally and nationally for renewable energy, renewable biofuels. There were incentives. So a group of investors from Durango got together and they built a plant to extract oil from sunflowers and safflower. That was built in 2008. It lasted about 2 years and it's not operational anymore. There wasn't enough sunflower, there wasn't enough safflower. They had lousy management, so it didn't work. But our advisory board determined that we needed to work on oilseed crops. So we've been working with safflowers, canola, safflower since 2006, doing variety trials, crop rotation trials, limited irrigation trial. And this is just an example from a crop rotation trial where we include the safflower. We compare it to the standard wheat fallow rotation, winter wheat sunflower fallow, winter wheat safflower fallow, and this one where we include the opportunity crop. 1 year was camelina, 2 years was corn, and then this one where we had dry bean and sunflower. So this is the average yield in pounds per acre per year. So you see where we actually had sunflower, we averaged 862 pounds the acre, same with safflower, a little bit less, both more than winter fallow or the four-year rotations. In terms of estimated profit, the sunflower, the one that includes the sunflower, actually had about $24 per acre, safflower $19, much more than the wheat fallow and much more than the one with dry bean and four-year rotation. Three crops in 4 years. So when I show them this kind of figures, they say, what are we doing? Where should we grow crops at all, annual crops? You know, we're not making any money. And so how can we enhance the sustainability of our dryland farming systems? And how can we protect our soil from erosion and increase its organic matter content and its quality? So we've been talking about cover crops for the last 3 years, and this year we did an experiment. We planted a whole bunch of single species and mixtures, and the timing was just right. So we had a good stand, a good crop, and these are the dry matter in pounds per acre. We had like spring barley, nitro radish, turnips, rapeseed, flax, and several legume crops. Well, of course, the cereal crops produce much more biomass than the legume crops. These are the mixtures, and where we had spring barley, we had a lot higher biomass than where we had legume crops. We are really intrigued by cover crops. People want to try it. We are concerned about water use. But unless we do it, unless we experiment with it, we would know, because we have a very unique environment that's different from a lot of other areas. So we are hoping we're going to pursue this and see what we come up with. And people are also asking, well, how about forage crops? Whether it's annual, like sorghum Sudan crops, sorghum Sudan crops that can be cut for hay or grazed, and some people are doing this. Last year they had some success with it, less this year, but it's a possibility. And also people are asking, well, how about perennial crops like grasses and combine that with grazing? You know, it's like going back in time, 200, 300 years ago, where a lot of this area was in grass, permanent grass, or pinyon juniper trees, and there was a lot of elk and deer. They would still have quite a bit of elk and deer. You know, they're thinking, well, wouldn't this be the perfect way to reduce erosion and enhance the quality of our soils while generating some income? So there is a lot of discussion here going on. So we're hoping to get some funding to do both this, to work on a permanent pasture situation, also with cover crops, to try see if they can, how they can do during the fallow period between two winter crops, winter wheat crops, wheat and bean, and see if we can enhance the quality of our soils that way. I'll stop here and see if you have any questions. Thank you.
We've got a couple minutes for questions.
Your cover crop.
Oops. Uh-oh. Did they do some thing here? I don't know what happened.
Are you planning to utilize your cover crop in some way, or are you going to use it simply as a cover to improve soil quality?
Well, right now we've been working, a group of us have been putting together a grant proposal, and what we want to do is use it as a cover crop right now for the maybe 3 years and see the potential, see, you know, do a whole bunch of measurement and see if there is potential. And then after we show that cover crops will or may not work, if we see there is potential, which we hope there is potential, then we may look at other alternatives.
But you're going to have a crop following that cover crop.
Yes. Yes, we'll plant like cover crops after we harvest winter wheat. Yes, we will grow cover crops after we plant winter wheat in August, and then we'll have mixed some things that will be winter hardy, some that will winter kill, and then we'll terminate them in spring, like in April or May, before we plant the next crop, winter wheat or dry beans.
Okay.